Let me check with John real quick.
Okay. For the city of Grover Beach for Monday, November 22nd, 2021. It is 6 p.m. and this call to order is for a virtual meeting because given public health conditions and consistent with Assembly Bill number 361, meetings are being held by teleconference only until further notice. This meeting can be viewed on channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website as well as on www.slow-span.org. And members of the public may provide public comment during the course of the meeting by calling in at 805-321-6639, and that phone line is open now. So I'd like to start the meeting with a moment of silence, please, if we could. So for remembrance of for the tragic events that happened in Wisconsin over the weekend. So, and then also a recollection and an understanding that mental health is a big issue in our country and our society, and a number of the tragic events that occur have some connection to that mental health situation. So please, if you would all join me in a moment of silence, please. Thank you everyone for that moment of silence. So next I'd like to turn it over to our community development director, Mr. Bruce Buckingham, to lead us in the flag salute. Sir, if you would please.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Mayor. If you'd all put your right hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So now I'll bring it back to our city clerk to do a roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller?
Here.
Councilmember Robert?
Here.
Councilmember Rushing?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright? Not see that she's on yet. Mayor Lee.
I am here. So we do have a quorum. We do understand that Mayor Pro Tem Bright may be having some technical difficulties. So we will proceed into the agenda, and depending upon where she joins us, we will let the city clerk know that. So we do have a quorum and we will proceed. And that will take us into our closed session announcements, where I'll turn to Mr. Hale, our city attorney, and see if there's anything he needs to share with us tonight on closed session announcements.
Thank you, Mayor. Now, tonight, we do not have any closed session announcements.
Very good. Thank you, sir. So that will bring us to our agenda review, where at this time, the council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests or make arrangements, announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Let's see if there's any members of the council that want to make changes. If not, I'm prepared to make a motion to adopt the agenda as presented for this evening.
I'll move to adopt the agenda as presented.
I'll second that motion.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We will proceed with the agenda as presented, which will then take us to our ceremonial calendar, where tonight we have a brief introduction by Chief Peters of our newest commander, Commander Monroe. Thank you, sir. Chief Peters, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council and community. It's my pleasure tonight to introduce our newest police commander for the Grover Beach Police Department. His name is Jim Monroe. On November 15th, Jim Monroe joined the police department as the new operations commander. Commander Monroe will replace Commander Angela Lamone, who's retiring in December. Jim joins the police department from the Clovis Police Department, where he was serving as a lieutenant and public information officer for their department. Commander Monroe started his law enforcement career 24 years ago as a part-time dispatcher for the Clovis Police Department and working graveyards and weekends. After some time, he attended the police academy and became a sworn police officer. Since becoming an officer and promoting his way to lieutenant, he has shown a passion for law enforcement and technology that can help staff work both efficiently and smarter. Jim has experience managing patrol shifts, special details, and all technology-related projects within a police department. Jim has a bachelor's degree in kinesiology and a master's degree in law enforcement and public safety leadership. He's also a graduate of the Sherman Block Supervisory Leadership Institute, class number 403, and is a member of the California Police Chiefs Association's Emerging Technologies Committee. So I'd like to welcome Commander Jim Monroe.
Mr. Monroe, thank you for joining us. Congratulations. And we look for a long and illustrious career as a commander. And at some point, we know the chief is going to retire, so we'll see where that goes. But I did want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself and say some words if you like.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, and hello, Council. It's great to be here. I got to tell you, the last week and a day has been amazing. I'm really excited to be here. And I will tell you that one of the big deciding factors in coming to Grover Beach was the support of the City Council, City Manager, and of course, leadership of Chief Peters. So I'm very happy to be here. My family's coming on Wednesday as well, so I'll be happy to have them over to the Central Coast, and then we'll be whole again. So thank you. Look forward to working with all of you, and I appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you, Commander. Great to have you on board. Great to have your family over here joining the Thanksgiving weekend for you as well, and good choice to come west.
Thank you.
Very good. So Chief, I realize that we have just introduced Commander Monroe to the force, but I think I've seen on social media that you actually do have another position or two, and not to take any thunder away from Mr. Commander Monroe, but did you want to mention anything about some upcoming recruitments that are ongoing by the police department?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, because we are planning for some retirements, we actually have one commander, Lamone, retiring, and Sergeant Iteraldi and Sergeant Rabina both retiring as well in December. We've opened up the recruitment process to backfill for those vacancies. We just recently held an internal promotional process for Sergeant to fill those two positions internally, and we are filling those as of tonight. So more to come on that. But we look forward to backfilling those positions with at least two new positions that, are filling the current ones. So anybody who's interested and wanted to come become a police officer or is working as a police officer right now, it is a great time to join the Grover Beach Police Department. Please check out our website at www.groverbeach.org.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate that. And Commander, you won't be the low man on the ladder for very long. Very good. So let's see by kind of unmuting yourself if there's any members of the council that want to express anything to the commander or the chief. Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mayor Lee. A big welcome to Commander Monroe. You have quite an impressive background in law enforcement. I think I read online, I read your bio online, that you became a police officer right out of high school and continue in the line of work through your studies at Fresno State. And have been in this line of work since. So thank you for your demonstrated commitment to helping others. We appreciate you sharing your skills and knowledge with our city group. So welcome.
Thank you.
Very good. Next up, we'll go to Councilmember Robert.
Just a big welcome, Commander Monroe. It's nice to have you on board with us. And yes, your background is quite impressive, and we look forward to many years of service. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Very good. Next, we'll go to Councilmember Rushing.
I'll reiterate what my colleagues have also said as well. Commander Monroe, thank you so much for choosing beautiful Central Coast for your future home. I understand you're bringing your family here and setting down some roots. We really appreciate that. We're a family community, and we definitely appreciate that. So looking forward to many years with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Very good. And definitely last but not least, so Mayor Pro Tem, so who is able to overcome her technical difficulties, has joined us tonight. Good evening.
Yes, Thank you. I'm sorry for my tardiness. Thank you so much for joining us. And I don't want to take up a whole lot of your time, but I hope that we are here with you upon your retirement, that you stay here and enjoy this lovely city as much as we all do. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Very good. And I'll just say thank you and welcome, and I look forward to a long, long career for you with the Grover Beach Police Department. So Chief or Mr. Bronson, unless there's anything else to conduct on the ceremonial calendar, we will move on to our presentation, which tonight will be Show Us Your Signs, discussion of our contest winners, and we'll bring on Parks and Rec Director Kathy Petker. And I know she's here somewhere.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members, Kathy Petker. Thank you. And I think do you see the screen with the sign up, the first one? Okay, great. Well, little background information. We were super fortunate to have this wonderful program of the retired street signs and the sales. And the city sold $16,000 of the signs for $20 each. It was a huge success program. Lots of credit going to Public Works, Lynn Pearson, who spearheaded that. And then also we were able to match that funding with $14,000 for a total of approximately $30,000 for some beautification funds for the city. And I'll go into that a little bit, but first of all, I don't want to hold back the drum roll of the entries. So what you see here is a sampling of the top 10. And first one here is Newport Avenue. And basically what you see is people purchased them, they refurbished them, they decorated, and then they took a picture and they submitted them on the contest page that we had on our social media. And next, this one's Newport. The next slide is La Jolla Court, and this one was obviously put on someone's garage, so it was very cool. And I believe that one also is the address of the person, 1925 La Jolla Court, so they added that extra little address. Next one. And this one was really neat. This was submitted by the people who live in the home. They bought the names of their names, so Ramona and Rose, and that was their entry. Next one. And this one is Spoon Trade. This was the business that we have right here in Grand, Grover, right on West Grand. And this actually is the number one winner. The Spoon Trade won the contest. Okay, but obviously this is the entryway sign. Next one. And this one was pretty cool, this surf beachy scene on Beckett, Beckett Place. Oh, there's that one. Next sign. And this one was Capitola. And they put that one in their house, which was pretty cool. Next one. And there's Rose Court by the Rose Garden that they have in their backyard. And 351 North 9th Street, right on the garage. This one's decorated for Halloween on 12th and Brighton. And this one's Pebble Beach. This one was pretty cool. They added the additional painting of the colors as well as the golf clubs for her husband, who's a golfer. Next one. Oh, that was it. That was the last one. So the winner was the Spoon Trade. And I wanted to go back to let you know that we are going to be using the beautification funds of the $30,000 to use some beautification on West Grand Avenue. Proposed, it will be coming back to the City Council. The Parks and Recreation and Beautification Commission reviewed it all last week, and selected the winner, and they talked about some really neat projects that they want to use the funding for, including a labyrinth in Ramona Park. And also they talked about wanting to do public art sculpture to replace the GB60 on West Grand Avenue and Highway 1. They also talked about the sculpture possibly have some moving parts. And then they also were very interested in doing some more West Grand Avenue beautification with additional lighting on trees, bulb outs for landscaping, and also consider beautifying a permanent food truck area. And we'll be bringing those back to you next year once we get those projects nailed down to something more presentable to you. And that was our beautification and community building event that the commission worked on most recently, as well as the public. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Petker, for that presentation. And let's see, just by a show of unmuting yourselves, if there's any member of the council that has any questions or comments for you. Looks like Council Member Miller.
Thank you. So what a fun contest. Thank you to all the residents who participated and to our Parks and Recs team members for organizing that. I really like seeing all the photos of the signs in people's homes. So appreciate it.
Next, we'll go to Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for showing us all of those pictures. They actually gave me some really great ideas for the sign that we have. I particularly enjoyed the one where the address was actually included on the sign. I know that sometimes delivery folks can't find my house because it's not really identified as well as it should. So I'm fairly positive there's going to be some adjustments to my front yard in the next couple of weeks here. So thank you. This is an awesome opportunity for y'all. I appreciate it.
Very good. Councilmember Robert.
Thank you. Great job, Ms. Pector. I was actually wondering, wasn't there an award for the person that bought the most signs? I was actually thinking of opening my own city. That's great. It worked out really well and brought some funds in for beautifications at Rover Beach. So great idea. Keep them coming. Thank you.
Very good. And Mayor Pro Tem Petker. Or excuse me, Mayor Pro Tem Bright. I apologize.
You know, Kathy, there may be something else in your future. Really, though, it was a really fun idea and project, and I just really enjoyed it. I don't know if I can compete with my colleague Robert, but I got a few of my own. The neighborhood that I live in, they're all my family's names. So anywho, but it was really fun, and everybody enjoyed getting them from me as a gift. So thank you very much for coming up with that idea. And it really seemed to be very
good. Yeah, I can't take full credit. It was definitely a team effort with a lot of city employees. So, but I do want to share that I bought signs that had the beach, the Southern California beach names, so Stinson and Capitola. And I'm a surfer. I got my surfboard in the background here. And so I got my thing going at my place with my surfboards as well. So it was really fun.
Very nice. It looks like our city manager, Mr. Bronson, has unmuted himself, so I'll ask him to join the conversation as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, good evening to you. Thank you for the comments on the Show Us Your Signs contest. This is really the culmination of all the work that we did beginning in the springtime when we had this crazy idea of, will anybody actually want to buy one of our old street signs? We thought we'd sell a few of them. We sold all of them. Over 700 of them. And to answer Councilmember Roberts' question, we had somebody come in at the end and buy the remaining, I think it was 150, 200 of them that hadn't been sold. So each one of them has been repurposed and recycled. Those are now not going to a landfill. They're going to a better place. And we've seen some great examples of signage across our community and beyond. I bought 4 signs, including a sign for my high school, Del Mar High School. Del Mar Avenue now hangs in my garage very proudly. So thank you again to the council. Thanks to Public Works for their leadership of this project. Thanks to Kathy for shepherding this contest. It's been a great win-win for all of us. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. So it's great comments and great participation by the community. So it's always good to see the vibrancy of people's creativity as we move forward with in this particular case signage, and then as we come forward with the beautification, that's just going to be another win-win for the city. So thank you very much for all of that. So next that'll take us to our public communications, where during this time the council will provide for public communication and additional communication if necessary after the regular business items. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. We will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on items that are not on tonight's agenda. So I would invite anyone who wants to call in for public comment tonight to do so by calling in at 805-321-6639. And I'll turn it over to our city clerk to see if anyone has joined us on the line for public comment.
Yes, we have Brenda Auer.
Very good. Good evening, Ms. Auer.
Hello, Jeff. How are you tonight?
Very good, thank you. So, public comment floor is yours.
Everyone else online. First off, I know I'm short on time, and I'm late for dinner. So, on that note, Commander Monroe, welcome. I pray that you are ready for Grover Beach and that we become friends. Number two, I see that there might be 11 people online. I'm not sure. Somebody verify that for me. And by the way, the whole sign thing was so entertaining. I bought 4, 2 big ones. Haven't hung any of them. I like your choice for the winter. But let's get down really quick to the nitty gritty. Forget the fluff. You're about to vote about the street bond. Let's use the pot money. Let's get rid of Measure K. Relieve the property owners of the burden of the street burden. Do not even think about building a new city hall to get rid of Measure K. I might sound a little angry. I am. I'm miffed. I might have to check my brakes tomorrow when I leave my house. I don't care. I just have to voice my opinion. And again, please tell me how many other people are watching this meeting. Open up the meetings to us, please. That's all I have to say. Thank you for your time. I'm so glad that at least a couple of the council members own property in Grover Beach and are speaking for us. I pray there's more. Thank you again for your time. And forgive me if I seem a little anxious, but again, I'm late for my dinner appointment.
Very good. Thank you for those comments, Ms. Auer. So let me check in with our city clerk and see if anyone else is on the line for public comments.
We have Dana Cummings.
Good evening, Mr. Cummings.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council members and city staff, and welcome aboard to the new police officer on board. We appreciate his service and everything. I'm here to just talk about and to announce that we are super excited to be hosting the 2021 Pismo Beach ISA World Parasurfing Championships and Learn to Surf Clinic here in our community, December 4th through the 12th. And we're going to be hosting a dinner, appreciation dinner for everyone involved in Grover Beach at Finn's Golf Course on December 11th. And hopefully you guys all got your invites to that today. And this is more of a call of thanks for your support of what we're doing and how we're changing lives through adaptive surf therapy and supporting athletes from the ones just learning at the Learn to Surf clinics to those competing at the pinnacle of the sport. A little bit about the World Parasurfing Championship. So this is where the athletes that are at the pinnacle of the sport and competing at the Olympic level will come together and compete for world championships and gold medals for not only themselves as individuals, but as nations. We have 300 plus competitors, coaches, and trainers coming in from 32 countries from around the world. This, to my knowledge, this is the first ever Olympic level event happening here on the Central Coast. And we're just stoked to have the city of Grover Beach as a part of it. and everyone else here in the community. And we really need lots of volunteers. So if there's volunteers out there that can get involved, all of you that surf, that are on this call or know someone that surfs, we'd love to have you out there helping in the water. But even if you don't surf, if you can hand someone a bottle of water or help them, you know, find where to get their lunch or something like that, we could use you and need your help. And folks can sign up at ampsurf.org to get involved. And if you guys have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them in the next minute and 30 seconds that I have left.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Cummings. So it looks like ampsurf.org. That's the correct location for volunteers to reach you?
Yes, www.ampsurf.org. It's ampsurf.org.
Very good. Well, congratulations on the event, and we look forward to participating in whatever way we can. And we'll see you on the 11th, if not before.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Cummings. Let me turn back to our city clerk and see if there's anyone else on the line for public communications.
Yes, we have Curtis Reinhart.
Good evening, Curtis.
Jeff and City Council. I want to do a little cleanup for Dana's comments. I'm volunteering with Dana and helping answer host the Parasurfing Olympics or pre-Olympics event here in December. And as you're probably all aware, Grover Beach is one of our big sponsors, and I wanted to thank you for sponsoring the event. And we're in the process of making sure you get all the recognition we can possibly give you. One thing that Dana forgot to mention, on Saturday night, the 11th, after the thank you party at Finn's that the council's been invited to, we're going to have a big beach bonfire just at the end of Grand Avenue. And the city is helping us put that on, and some of your funds are helping us do that. We're going to have all the athletes that are coming in from the 32 countries there at that bonfire, as well as it's going to be wide open to the public. So it'll be a fun event. We're also going to involve a number of Grover Beach restaurants and merchandisers in our discount program for all the athletes that are coming in. There are over 300 athletes and team members coming in from all over the world, and we're offering them discounts to your merchants and restaurants in order to promote business for those folks, and also to thank the attendees and give them an incentive to stay here in Grover Beach and spend their dollars in the evening for meals, etc. So I think that's all I have, and just wanted to thank the council again, and Matt and Kathy for supporting the World Parasurfing Championships.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Reinhart. Always good to hear from you, and good good tag teaming with Mr. Cummins. So next, I'll turn back to our city clerk, see if anyone else has joined us on the line for public communication.
Yes, we have Charles Varney.
Good evening, Mr. Varney.
Good morning. Good evening, Mayor Lee and City Council members, and welcome, Commander Monroe. My name is Charles Varney. I'm the Vice Chair of the Oceano Advisory Council, and the Council's been working really hard to get more infrastructure projects funded in our community. And I'm really excited to say that the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments has volunteered to be the lead agency on a major grant application for Oceano to the state's active transportation program to start work on the county's flood control plan for Oceano that was created almost 18 years ago, but not much has happened. And we're hoping to get a large infrastructure grant to get a big portion of that infrastructure built. Also, we have the almost 8-year-old now Oceano Revitalization Plan, which focuses on making Highway 1 through our community much safer by redesigning the major intersections and installing pedestrian controlled crosswalks. All of this is to the service of safety for pedestrians and bicyclists and so that kids can have a safe route to school. Slocog has priced this project on improving Highway 1 at about $1.3 million. And at the October 6th meeting of Slocog, they said that they would be voting on that at the December 6th meeting, which is coming up. So we've reached out to our sister and brother communities around us for support in this funding with the belief that everybody's vote rises as, you know, these kind of infrastructure improvements are made into our communities. And our ask to Grover Beach is if you can see your way to putting in a good word for the Oceano Front Street Complete Streets project at the Slocog meeting. And, you know, together we can really make some really profound improvements. It's been, I think we could probably all agree that Oceano has been sort of at the bottom of the list for a long time. Not that we haven't gotten some things done, but we really think it's our turn, and we would look for your support in that. So thank you very much for anything you can do for us, and back at you as we you know, support you and the great activities and neighbor that you are to us. So thanks a lot.
Very good. Thank you for those comments, Mr. Varney. So let's check back in with our city clerk to see if there's anyone else on the line for public communications.
Yes, we have Catherine.
Good evening, Catherine.
Yes. Oh, good evening, Mr. Mayor, city manager, and city council members. I just wanted to bring to your attention, and there already might be a fix in progress, but the vehicles on the pike in front of Janet Street are getting worse. And without any kind of speed limit signage, it's a huge pedestrian risk along with, you know, vehicle accident risk. You may have a fix already in progress, but I have two solution options I would like to recommend. One, it would be pretty easy to replace one of the multiple bike lane signs with a 30 mile per hour sign without, you know, a lot of expense. I think there's four or five different bike lane signs on a pole. If you could just swap out one of those and put, you know, is it 30 or 35 miles per hour? People are speeding at ridiculous rates and it seems to be getting worse. Or you could put one of those speed tracking devices that says, you're going too fast. Hello, wake up. Don't kill anyone while you're driving by our little senior community, please. That was it.
Well, thank you for those comments, Ms. Catherine. So let me check back in with our city clerk and see if anyone else is on the line for public comments.
No, we have no one else on the line.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. I will go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the council. So we had more public comment this evening than we've had in a little while. So let's take a quick moment to appreciate Mr. Cummins and Mr. Reinhart for their comments on the World Parasurfing competition, and then also turn to And I'm looking online, and I'm hoping that Ms. Auer still has an opportunity to listen to this or listen into this on the recording afterwards. But we do have more than 11 people online. So at one point, I did see a number of at least over 20 of people that are participating in this meeting, and hopefully we get a large number that does watch after the fact as well. So I don't think I'll make any comments on her comments about use of cannabis funds or Measure K-14 because we do have a first quarter financial review and we do have a bond discussion later in the agenda. So I think we'll leave those discussions for that, but wanted to check in with Mayor Pro Tem Bright, see if you wanted to make any comments or information in advance of Slocog for what Mr. Varney had to share with us tonight.
Well, I do know that will be coming before us in December. you know, I'm actually not prepared for that, but I have talked with the executive director of SLOCOG, and I know that there have been some correspondence back and forth. And certainly, I know that I support, and I believe that generally the support is there for that project. So I know for a fact that staff has that on the radar, and so as far as any specifics, I'm sorry, I don't have those at this point in time. May I comment though on the AMPSR?
Certainly. Yep. Event. I will.
My brother-in-law, as a matter of fact, I've met Mr. Cummings at my brother-in-law's house. My brother-in-law is a Marine, and I know through him and through my conversations, this was, my goodness, several years ago when I met Mr. Cummings. But the work that they do and the positive outcomes are incredible. And so I just wanted to thank him and anyone else who's involved with this for bringing it to our community and allowing those of us who would like to be able to volunteer and help with that project. So thank you for allowing me that time.
Of course. So that's it sounds like an amazing event, and glad that people are able to put it together and looking for opportunities for volunteers. And it looks like Ms. Petker has come on, so perhaps wants to share some words about the event.
I just wanted to let you all know that we did invite ourselves to the table, so to speak, and we did want to increase the AMPSR activities in Grover Beach, which is why we're really happy that we'll be able to have these thousands of people in our community being able to host the bonfire and those events and having them in our city. So we were really glad to be able to have this opportunity to have them branch out with us.
Very good. Appreciate that. So let me see if there's other members of the council that do want to make any comments on any of the public commenters who reached out to us this evening. Go ahead and unmute yourself if you have any questions or comments. Okay, not seeing anybody unmute themselves. Let me turn to Catherine's comments, and just to say that definitely appreciate the comments that she made, and I think I'll just turn to the city manager to kind of refer that to city staff, unless you wanted to make any specific comments, Mr. Bronson.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can actually just report to the council that we are in the process of putting an additional speed limit sign on that stretch of the pike between Oak Park, Ant Boulevard, and 13th Street. So we are working on that as we speak. We did lower the speed limit earlier this year, in part because the speeds have come down on the pike, and our data still shows that overall. However, putting another speed limit sign will be a helpful reminder for those who need that reminder, and we do enforcement activities there as well, and we'll make sure to keep that going. Thank you.
Very good. Appreciate that, and I'm sure Catherine will be watching that as that progresses, as will other residents of that area. So, very good. So that will conclude our public communications section this evening and take us into our consent agenda, where we do have a number of routine items that are taken for consideration as a group, and there is looks like 9 items tonight. And I will turn to the council first to see if there's any members of the council that have any questions on a particular item on the consent agenda. Go ahead and unmute yourself if you do. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Me again. Thank you. Actually, I just have some comments regarding item 9, the COVID-19 response update. So if I could, I don't know that we have to pull it, but I just have some comments.
Very good. Let's go ahead and see if there's any questions first, and then after we take public comment, we'll come back for your comments. So see if there's other members of the council that have questions on any item on the consent agenda. Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. I do have a question about item number 10. So I understand that SB 1383 is intended to apply to all businesses, residents with multi-apartments. However, I'm under the impression that a waiver may be possible for certain businesses and multifamily apartments. I'm wondering if the city or IWMA will provide some public guidance on not only how to comply, but also how to request waiver.
And I'll turn to Mr. Brunson to respond to that question, if you would, sir.
Thank you, Council Member. I actually do not have the information to that question, but I'll make sure to bring that up and we'll present it to the council as part of the public hearing on the item coming up on December 13th.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions, Council Member Miller? Okay, so not seeing either Council Member Robert or Council Member Rushing unmuting themselves, I did have a more of a request for consent agenda item number 7, which is the on-call professional services authority designation. The city manager and I had a conversation earlier today, and he had a good idea to include our active on-call list that is that we approved in May of this year as part of this on-call service authority designation. And I just want to concur with the council that you are in agreement with that. So more of a request slash update from Mr. Bronson. So I don't know if I said that correctly or if you need anything you want to add for that. Okay, very good. So seeing no other questions, I do have a question, or excuse me, a comment on number 12 as well, but let's first go out to public comments. So where any member of the public is invited to address the council on any item under the consent agenda by calling in at 805-321-6639. And we may, depending upon the comment or the question, discuss it at this time, so prior to taking action on the consent agenda. So let me turn to our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comment on the consent agenda only.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. I will go ahead and close public comment on the consent agenda and bring it back for comments. So let's see, I think there was Mayor Pro Tem Bright, you had a comment on item number 9.
Yes, thank you. There has been some reports regarding some of our local businesses that are not following the mandated guidelines for our county regarding masks. And two in particular, but my concern and the concerns of the folks are that it's a safety issue for shoppers and the employees. And I thought that this would be an appropriate place to bring up this subject rather than council communications, mainly because it's just a health concern. And so I thought maybe we might be able to hear from our city manager or someone as to how we go about handling those things and that.
Very good. I'll turn to our city manager, Mr. Bronson. So I know I can share that I've had some communication with folks as well regarding possible mask mandates that are either not being followed or not being as followed as much as the particular person is hoping that they'll be followed. But let me turn to Mr. Bronson for kind of a city response.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. We're still under the county's mask order, which is a county specific order, not a statewide mandate at this point. The order does require masks be worn in indoor public spaces. The two criteria for releasing the order, one is that when the transmission rate gets in down to the yellow or moderate status as defined by the Centers for Disease Control, we're currently in the orange status as a county. And secondly, that hospitalization rates are stable, which we are as a county. So we meet that criteria and we don't meet the first one. At this point, there is no specified end date. It depends on this transmission rate and when we will be seeing that. And given the potential for a winter surge over the next couple of months, we are hoping to keep any increase in transmission to a minimum, let alone a decrease in the transmission rate. Hopefully, we'll get there sooner than later. So at this point, we are still under the order. Our approach as a city is and has been that when we receive a complaint about a particular business or an activity, we contact the owner, we contact the manager, we let them know about the complaint, we remind them about the mask order and ask for their voluntary compliance. And our impression is that there has been continued strong rate of compliance across the community. At this particular point, are we going to get to 100% compliance? No, we don't believe that. I think any kind of mask order doesn't truly get 100% compliance unless there are extraordinary circumstances. But we're getting very strong compliance. And ultimately, that's what we're trying to achieve as a community, to get as strong as we can and to remind people of the importance of using the masks inside the public spaces and to use our platform as a city to help instill that message with our community.
Very good. Thank you for that response. I'll turn to Mayor Pro Tem Bright to see if there's any other questions or comments you had regarding that.
I guess my at this point, then, should people have concerns regarding a local business, then it should then be reported to code enforcement or elsewhere?
Yes, it is ultimately a code compliance complaint, just like other code compliance issues. And that's where we receive most of the complaints, through the code compliance process, or if they come in to other members of staff or other council members. Ultimately, it's our code compliance officer who makes the contact with the business and works with them, talks to them about the voluntary compliance we are striving to achieve as a community. This is a similar approach that other agencies are taking as well. So we are in alignment with other agencies' approaches as well. And we continue to urge our community to be safe, take the steps necessary to help us get through the pandemic over these next few months so that we can rebuild in 2022.
Okay, very good. Thank you for those follow-up comments. So I'll just add my comments to that as well. And it kind of follows along the lines of what Ms. Auer was saying under public communication, is there is a reason that we are still in virtual mode for our meetings in accordance with the guidelines. If we were all together, we would all have masks on. And so realizing that the functionality of this type of meeting has been very productive. Kind of the guidance that we're receiving is that once we get to that stability of hospitalizations as well as orange tiered, or the old orange tiered, the mask mandate is lifted, then we would consider coming back in person as a city council and for public meetings. But we have been having public outdoor events, which is allowed under the ordinance, and those have been very successful. It's the in-person meetings indoors that I think are continuing to express the concerns, and we as a city are complying with that during the course of meetings. But as Mr. Bronson said, the businesses were trying to get as the maximum amount of compliance as possible. So with realizing that we can be good stewards of the mask initiative for others, especially the businesses in the community. So anything else you wanted to add on that, Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
No, thank you. I appreciate the dialogue and the information.
Very good. So then I did want to make a quick comment on item number 12, which is our first quarter financial review, which was very positive in its in what we've been able to accomplish revenue-wise from the city, as well as the prudent spending of revenues that have come into the city. So Ms. Dower did mention using the cannabis funds rather than Measure K. And while a single quarter does not, a annual report make, the cannabis funds did have a little bit of a slowing in the first quarter of this year. And so I think we as a council have been very prudent in how we've spent those funds and earmarked those funds. And I for one am supportive of continuing that prudent use of that while the industry continues to solidify itself and stabilize itself. So let's see if there's with those comments made, let's see, by unmuting of yourselves, go ahead and make any comments, or if someone's ready to provide a motion on the consent agenda, I am more than willing to entertain that. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Yes, regarding item 12, I agree. At this point in time, we have been very cautious with the use of cannabis funds because just for this reason, there's legislation, there's now new competition, and so on. As a result, we said that we weren't going to fund any kind of ongoing long-term projects with those funds. And I think it would be very premature to think about doing something other than that at this point in time. I'd also, if I remember correctly, with the whatever it is, over 60% of our streets that have been paved, our bond rating is possibly going to get better. I know that our property values have increased. I know that there has been, of course, an increase in the market, but I truly believe that by having our roads paved and sidewalks going in, it makes for a great improvement throughout our entire community and city. And I think that if we were to stop doing this now, we'd really hear about it. There are so many people that are still waiting to have their streets done. And it's something that needs to happen. And the types of funds that's required to do these streets, I don't see that ever coming from cannabis, at least not for maybe never, but certainly not for a very long time. So thank you for the opportunity.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. And I'll let anyone else unmute themselves if you have comments. Otherwise, we are ready for a motion on the consent agenda.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Miller and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. I'll turn to our city clerk for roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. We have an approved consent agenda this evening. Thank you, everyone, for the participation in that. That will close our consent agenda and bring it to our public hearings, where I will invite folks to call in under this item at 805-321-6639. And this is a second reading and possible adoption of an ordinance to amend the municipal code. And I'll turn it over to our community development director, Mr. Buckingham, and our senior planner, Mr. Castillo, for the presentation.
And actually, I'm going to turn it over to Senior Planner Castillo for the presentation tonight.
Thank you, Bruce. So before you this evening is a second reading of the Development Code Amendment, Mobile Vendors, Fences, and Parking. Next slide, please. So this is Development Application 2141. The City Council had provided direction to amend our Development Code, which is essentially our zoning ordinance, for the following: allow for mobile vendors on private property, amend fencing standards, provide flexibility for property owners, and also prohibit parking in landscape areas for code enforcement issues. As a part of this Development Code Amendment before you this evening, we've also included cleanup items, including housing definitions and additional definitions to support the amendments before you this evening. Next slide. So the first, we're going to divide this into three topics, the first one being mobile vendors on private property. The council provided direction on regulating our mobile vendors on private property back in summer of this past year.
Based on the direction provided by the council, city staff has proposed amendment to create two types of permits for mobile vendors. The first one being a temporary use permit for one vendor, 10 days or less. And the second one is creating an administrative development permit for multiple vendors on one site for 11 days or more. Next slide. Next slide. Thank you. So what you see here on the screen is the area that the proposed amendment will allow for mobile vendors in the following zones. They generally are commercial zones, so OP, NC, CB, CBO, VS, CBS, RC, and CC. Those are those red zones that you see, as well as our industrial zones, I, CI, and CIC. So again, these are for mobile vendors on private property, generally in our commercial and our industrial zones. Next slide. So we do have a set of mobile vendor regulations for both permit types. So the first one is give mobile vendors the ability to have permanent seating on site. The second one is limiting the hours of operation between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. during the day. Third is requirements to manage waste and litter on site. And finally, prohibit the use of undeveloped sites. So what that means is neither permit type would allow for mobile vendors to be on sites that are just simply vacant or undeveloped or just have gravel, et cetera. Next slide. So there are additional criteria for these permit types. The first one is the city staff would issue what's known as a temporary use permit for a mobile vendor on a private property. So basically this is limiting it to one vendor, 10 days or less, whether it's a couple days during the week, or maybe it's for multiple days during the week or various days during the weekend. And again, very similar to what we said earlier, prohibit the use of undeveloped lots unless associated with a special event. There's an exception that is included in that. The second type is for the administrative development permit. There are additional parking requirements and restroom requirements. So the reality is what you see over at GB Eats is what would require an ADP, and a TUP is simply just for a business to have one vendor for a couple days throughout the month. Next slide. So moving on into fences, walls, and screening. Again, this is one main area topic that city staff has been working on for quite some time. The proposed amendments before you this evening will provide flexibility for our existing property owners through height and placement. Also, the proposed amendments better reflect our existing conditions, and hopefully it helps to clarify any outstanding issues that we do have ongoing with fences and walls in the community. Next slide. So I just want to refer out to the council of what we're going to discuss here in the fencing section. The gray area that you see on your screen, that is considered the front setback. The lightly hatched that's in between the residences is considered our side setback. And then the rear setback is the area that's a little bit darker hatch on the rear of the property. Additionally, as a part of this code amendment, we've carved out corner lot properties, and we'll get into how we're going to treat those in a minute. Next slide. So we are proposing the following amendments, and that is to increase the maximum height from three feet to 3.5 feet or 42 inches. So this would better align to what our existing conditions are out in the city today. We are also requesting a decrease in what we call a transparency height. And so what that means is it's that top section of the fence, as you can see on that picture at the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. This would require fence heights between 3.5 feet to 6 feet, go from a 90% transparency to 75%. As a part of this effort, city staff is better defining what the word transparency means, which is light and air emitting. So again, really working with what's out there in our community today, as well as our code enforcement and ensuring that we can create rules and regulations that are enforceable. Next slide. One of the topics in terms of fence walls and screening is the front setback. Additional amendments include allowing for retaining walls of up to 6 feet in height. This is something that our fence ordinance previously did not address. Most retaining walls within the city are below that 6 feet in height, and we just want to ensure that that maintains sort of that status quo. Also, we've added the additional allowance for fencing when property owners do have retaining walls in that front setback to allow for a step back between the retaining wall and the creation of a new fence that could be up to with a minimum of 3 foot buffer to with a minimum of 3 feet to create a buffer. So what that means is what homeowners are typically looking for is to create sort of that a little bit more privacy on their front yard. This allows for that step back to occur. This is an item that the council can weigh in on whether 3 feet is too much or too little. But again, we are looking for a little bit of input from the council's end. And then also allowing for fences and walls to be located within the public right-of-way. This is something that we're going to codify as a part of this effort, because there are times where property owners do request to put fences that is technically within the city right-of-way, although it is in sort of the landscape portion of their property. This would solidify a process in working with the Public Works Department in order to issue an encroachment permit and allow for that fence to be put in place. Next slide. The second section is pertaining more to the interior side and rear setbacks, and those circles in red at the top of your screen. Currently, our existing fence height is 6 feet maximum. We are proposing to increase to allow a maximum height of 7 feet for the interior side and rear yards. Again, any homeowner that typically tries to rebuild a fence or purchase fence materials from any type of hardware store, you'll get a typical fence board that's 6 feet. If you want to go higher, they typically have to custom make those. So just an FYI. But the California Building Code does allow for up to 7 feet in height. So we're trying to make that consistent with the building code. We're also refining heights, measurements, and fences when located on retaining walls, whether it's on a lower or higher lot. And we'll get into a little bit more detail on that in the next couple slides. And also provide standards for fences located outside of the setback areas. So currently our code is silent in that. We're looking to rectify that and provide guidance for homeowners who sometimes want to go higher or want to know where fences can be placed outside of that setback area. And these amendments would address that. Next slide. So discussing the fences on retaining walls on lower lots. So this image sort of depicts that retaining wall on the lower end. It is going to define the measurement of height when the wall is located on the lower lot and allows for the retaining wall to not count against the overall height. So that's one of the bigger changes that we're proposing this evening is really making a difference between whether a fence is on the lower end or on the higher end, and you'll see why in the next slide. Next slide, please. So fences on the retaining on the higher lots, as you can see, this image is a little bit more egregious, but sort of gives an example of what can happen if we don't have the proper regulations in place. So what we're proposing is to define the measurement of height on the higher end when the wall is located on the higher lot. So that includes the retaining wall is included in the fence height. And then again, what we're really trying to do is avoid that lower lot from just essentially viewing not only a very large retaining wall, but a fence on top of that. And so again, this picture is a very good description. That gentleman is approximately 5'6" in height. That fence is pretty tall. So that is something that we are trying to avoid again with these regulations and looking at what's in our community versus what others have done. Next slide. So the corner lot has been an issue for quite some time. We are and this is where we're trying to propose a lot of maximum flexibility for our residents here. So we are proposing that the property owner would be able to choose the fence area. What that means is for fences on the corner, a property owner could choose which side is what's considered the street side and which side is considered the front. So currently, as our code stands today, the front setback is defined as the shortest point of your lots. This would, again, on the corner only allow for that flexibility, because sometimes some folks have house doors that are pointing on the longer end versus the shorter end or vice versa. And so they treat the shorter end as their side yard or the longer end as their side yard. Our code currently does not have that flexibility. We want to build this in. So again, this provides the maximum flexibility for door location. One thing to note is that the street side maximum height would remain 6 feet as proposed by city staff and recommended by the Planning Commission. And the max height for front fences would remain consistent with any proposed amendment changes. In addition to this flexibility that's added on the corner lots, We've also worked in concert with our Public Works Department to revise our associated corner site triangle, which basically eliminates a lot of the verbiage that you saw in your packet and condenses it down and then punts it to the engineering standards, which is a lot easier for developers to follow. And as well as, again, those get updated a lot more often than our development code. Next slide. Other proposed amendments that are included in our fence walls and screenings is to allow for a director to make minor exceptions for unusual circumstances. That's one thing where you have a very rigid code. We have to follow by the books. Again, we're really just responding to what's in our community today and what may be in the future. So allowing that maximum flexibility to be done with very, very unusual circumstances. We're also amending our section to allow for freestanding arbors. At one time, they were buried in the landscaping section. So we want to bring this back up to the fence section and sort of define what is an arbor, where it could be located, and how tall it could be. And finally, additional mechanical equipment screening. So as technologies have evolved and mechanical screenings have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, we kind of forgot about how to screen those properly. So we want to ensure that those are screened from view from the right of way for both not only commercial projects, but also residential applications as well. Next slide. So moving on to the last sort of core item that this development code has focused on, and that's residential parking. You did visit this item in late summer, early fall. You gave city staff direction in terms of how to codify and move forward with how we're going to do parking. So this amendment before you this evening does have a new section to define where vehicles may park on private property. So this does require vehicles to park in a driveway or designated parking area. It prohibits parking within lawns, dirt, or other landscape areas, and also prohibits vehicles from encroaching on the sidewalks, et cetera. So again, the illustration on the top is probably your best, as it shows in our development code where we want our residents to park their cars. The bottom one with the X's and circles with the red X's is where we don't want our residents to park on the car. And again, this allows for better enforcement of our rules and regulations in our city. The second point is we do want to limit paved parking in areas. So we did notice in our code, and this is particularly true for our corner lot conditions that allowed for pavement to be on the front and side street of up to 50%. That actually could be a lot of pavement in the front and side street of a property. And so again, trying to look at what was the intent of a code and trying to morph it to what we see today. The proposed amendments add a little caveat to that. We still maintain the 50%, but there's a max, which is 27 feet in width, whichever is less. So again, it provides a codification to sort of lower the amount of pavement, but at the same time allows for a little bit larger driveway aprons when required. Next slide. Finally, city staff has revised our definition section, which is typically at the end of our development code, which adds definitions to support all the proposed amendments before you this evening. The second item that we did add is sort of a cleanup. And really what this is proposed revisions to definitions of what is a single family, multifamily dwelling, and adding a new definition for what we considered a common area development. So city staff would like to define what is a common area development, which is typically our plan unit developments. These are developments that share common facilities, which is typically a driveway or potentially a drainage basin, et cetera. And we want to refine and ensure that those are what we considered multifamily developments, regardless of the underlying ownership. And one of the primary drivers of this is newly minted state laws, such as ADUs. And so it was never the intention to allow for ADUs in our PUD areas. So this sort of solidifies that. And also it refines our single family residential definition as only one detached resident that doesn't include any shared facilities. So again, really this is in response to what we're seeing out in the field and in response to a lot of questions in regards to ADUs and other new development laws that have come on the books. These changes will help solidify what we mean by a multifamily, single family, as well as common area developments in moving to implement new state laws that have come in the books and that may be coming in the near future. Next slide. So the Planning Commission did visit all these development code amendments a few weeks ago. They are recommending that the City Council adopt an amendment to the Municipal Code, Article 9, for mobile vendors, amending regulations pertaining to fencing, parking, and definitions, and other associated sections, and also approve a local coastal program amendment. Next slide. And with that, I will open up to questions from the council.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Castillo, for that very good presentation. And as we are coming back to council, I will invite members of the public to call in, as this will be a public hearing. So please call in at 805-321-6639. And I'll turn to members of the council, see if anyone unmutes themselves and has specific questions for staff. Councilmember Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Castillo. That was an excellent presentation. Is the mobile home and boats on a separate issue? Because I didn't hear you mention those. That on a separate, we'll deal with that another time.
Are you talking about RVs and boats?
Yes.
Parking?
Sir.
I believe that is a separate, Bruce, do you want to chime in on that? I believe that's a separate work effort.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Councilmember Robert, that will come back to the council as part of the 72-hour parking issue, which the council gave us some direction on previously
right.
as well.
Okay. Thank you. That was all. Thanks.
Okay. Very good. Let's see if there's other members of the council through unmuting yourself that have questions. Not seeing anyone unmute themselves. I will go ahead and go out to I will open the public hearing. And invite folks to call in at 805-321-6639. And I'll turn to our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comment on this public hearing.
No, we currently have no one on the line.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and close the public hearing, bring it back to the council for consideration of an action. So let's see, does anyone have any comments or ready to make a motion? Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. I just wanted to also thank you for a very comprehensive and detailed report. It just makes everything so much easier. So I really want to commend you for that and thank you. Also, I am so pleased and I greatly appreciate working with the homeowners to allow for more flexibility and changing needs, basically. And also defining areas that need defining. It makes everybody's life so much easier. And the fact that we can just switch it up like that when it's necessary, it just does my heart good. So thank you very much. Appreciate all the information. So it was so easy to understand and follow. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. I'll look towards anyone else unmuting themselves for comments or if anyone is ready to make a motion. Councilmember Miller.
Thank you. I too am supportive of adopting these ordinance changes. I think they are needed to provide, as Mayor Pro Tem Bright mentioned, clarity to the rules, but also to allow for more flexibility and options to our residents and vendors.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. If you wanted to turn that into a motion, I'll turn to Councilmember Robert.
Well, one thing, staff was looking for direction on that setback for the retaining wall and the fence. If there were 3 feet, seemed too much. Does everyone agree 3 feet is adequate? It seems quite a bit because in my mind, you're putting that setback there, obviously to break up the big fence. But at the same time, you're taking away somebody's yard. I mean, is 3 feet too much? Would 2 feet be better? Or does everyone agree 3 feet's okay, I guess? That's what I'm thinking.
Great. Thank you, Councilmember Robert. I had forgotten to write that down. So I think I'll turn to, actually, let me ask Councilmember Robert, what are you supportive of?
I'm thinking 2 feet would be adequate, but I'm not, I don't deal a lot with those aesthetics and property lines and such like that. That's why I was asking other people's opinion if they thought 2 feet might be too little. I mean, it's enough area to plant some plants and make it look nice and break up the area. 3 feet to me seems substantial part of someone's yard. You know, they can get another foot of their yard by putting that fence up a little closer to the setback. But that's just my opinion.
Gotcha. Let me turn to Councilmember Rushing, see if he has comments on
it. So that's specifically in regards to the retaining walls for the front setback, correct, Mr. Castillo?
Correct.
Okay. So we're talking about a fence on top of a retaining wall setback 3 feet that has a 3.5 foot height for the fence. Like, that's personally, correct. For me, in terms of the aesthetics of it, a 3 feet setback is actually a nice geometrical number for a fence of that size. If it was much smaller, it's kind of a crowded space. I'm not really sure what you do with the 2 feet in that space. But that would certainly just be my opinion on that one. But I would think that 3 feet would be adequate.
Mm-hmm. Next, I'll turn to Mayor Pro Tem Bright for her input on that.
Well, I didn't unmute myself. I never muted myself. So I would really like to hear what my colleagues have to say on this. I really didn't even think that. I mean, it's been 3 feet, and I'd really like to hear what my colleagues have to say. Thank you.
And I'll turn to Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. I am in agreement with Councilmember Robert's suggestion to reduce that setback from 3 feet to 2 feet. I'd like to allow residents to reclaim a bit of their yard. That's a lot of space.
Very good. And I would be supportive of 2 feet. So kind of going towards Councilmember Rushing's comment earlier. So in my other life, so I've designed enough parking lots to where we do try and maintain somewhere in excess of 2 feet for plantings. But that's for more trees and sort of larger shrubbery within parking lots. So I think within landscape areas for residences, I think 2 feet could be adequate for kind of small either ground cover or landscaping. So I would suggest that if someone was going to do a larger tree or effect of that nature, then they would kind of go more towards the 3 foot threshold for root coverage and so forth. But from a standpoint of landscaping alone, I'm good with reducing that to 2 feet. So, Councilmember Rushing, I was not sure if you wanted to.
Nothing is preventing a homeowner from still doing 3 feet, though, right? Like, okay, correct. That's a beautiful thing.
Okay, very good. So, I'll just ask a perfunctory question and make sure. I think I know the answer, but I just want to make sure from Mr. Hale's standpoint that if we did make this change, this is not a substantive enough change to need to go back towards a first reading. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Very good. I just want to make sure of that. So it sounds like we've got a consensus of 2 feet for that change. So is there other items that anyone wants to kind of discuss under that? Otherwise, I'd be prepared to accept a motion on this item.
I'll make a motion to accept the new ordinances. Would they? Change of the 2 foot setback for the smaller fence.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Councilmember Robert and a second by Councilmember Rushing. I'll turn to our city clerk for a roll call, please.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes, very good. So we have a adopted second reading, and we'll conclude work on that item. So take us to our regular business, where we do have item number 14, which is the 2020 community survey results. And I'll invite folks to call in under this item at 805 321 6639, and I'll turn to our city manager, Mr. Brunson, to kick off remarks on this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. I'm delighted to introduce Brian Godby with Godby Research, who will be presenting the results of the 2021 community survey. This is the third iteration of this survey that we've done in Grover Beach to assess resident perceptions of quality of life, satisfaction with city services, financial management, the relative importance of particular city services, as well as most important issues facing the community and other topics as well. This is now the third time, as I mentioned, and so now we're able to see trend data from the previous two surveys in 2017 and 2019 and really determine how we're doing as a community from a representative cross-section of our community. And with that, I'm delighted to introduce Mr. Godby.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson, members of the council. I'm pleased to be presenting the third survey yet again. I'm not sure, do I have control over the PowerPoint? No, I guess I don't. I'll just say next slide. All right, this one's great. So in terms of the methodology, as the previous surveys have been, this is an online and a phone survey. We do both. The online is not posting links on Facebook. We are specifically sending email and text invitations to people that are on our list, both voters and non-voters in the city of Grover Beach. The universe, of course, was all adults aged 18 years or older. We do have a subsample that we know were registered voters as well. We were in the field from October 12th through the 21st. The average phone survey, which is still our metric, is 24 minutes long. We completed 433 interviews overall, which gives us a margin of error plus or minus 4.61 for the entire sample and 5.02 for the registered voter sample. Next slide, please. And next one. So jumping into the data, and as the city manager indicated, we have tracking data now. And so our first question was opinion on the overall quality of life versus 5 years ago. And the way we look at this, you see the much better and somewhat better are added together. So in 2019, it was 34% that said it is much better or somewhat better than 5 years before that. And that compares with 41% in 2021 that said the quality of life is better than 5 years ago. So we're definitely seeing a trend up, and that's a good thing. This is a little bit different than our standard quality of life question because we are comparing a previous time frame. So I don't have much data from other cities to give you anecdotally, but I think the good news here is that, you know, this is up 6.5%. From the previous survey. Next question. The next item was the satisfaction with city services. In this case, we asked very satisfied, somewhat dissatisfied, very dissatisfied, adding the very satisfied and somewhat together. You see in 2021, we were at 72% satisfied versus 65% in round numbers in 2019. And 61% in 2017. So again, we're seeing a nice steady increase. It was a 3.5% increase from 17 to 19 and a 7.5% increase from 19 to 20. So that too is a good sign. Next slide, please. The next question was an open-ended one. And it's one, again, we've asked multiple times. In this case, we said, what's the most important issue facing Grover Beach? And you see that in this survey, it was homelessness with 35% in round numbers indicating that response. Again, these are open-ended questions, so we're coding the items together. And sometimes they match, sometimes they don't match exactly. So you see that in the next one, which the second item was infrastructure / road repair in the current survey. In the previous surveys, it was road / street / infrastructure in 19, and then in 17, it was street road condition repairs needed. So a little bit different wording each time, but same idea. And what's dramatic, twofold. One, the 56% for street and road conditions in 2017 was off the charts, but it has steadily come down and dramatically so. So we've gone from 56% in 2017 to 21% saying that the streets and roads need repair of some sort. Affordable housing was third at 11%. That's up a little bit from the 2019 survey. That's probably not surprising. That's the trend we've seen elsewhere in California. In fourth position was crime in some fashion or another. Again, the differences from year to year. It's up a little bit, but statistically speaking, it's not significant. But obviously, it's something we want to keep an eye on. And then finally, in the fifth position and right at 10% in round numbers, we have development, new business, support business, economic development sorts of issues. Up again a little bit, but not a significant number. And then on down the list in single digits, which, you know, with the error rate are pretty small numbers. Next slide, please. The next question was a new one this year, and it was the rating of the city's management of public funds. Adding again the very unfavorable together, you see that the favorable is 54% total versus the unfavorable at 25%. It's a 2.13 positive to negative ratio. That's a pretty good place to be compared to other cities where we've asked this same question. The caveat is there's 21% who don't have an opinion. They're probably being honest that they don't know. But that's, you know, a blank slate, and it's important in the city's outreach efforts to make sure everybody understands, you know, what you're doing with public resources. Next slide, please. The next couple slides, I'm going to try to summarize quickly because there's a summary slide. But we asked a whole set of questions in terms of importance, and then we asked the same list again in terms of satisfaction. This shows you all of the data in terms of our ranking, which is an average basically of 3, 2, 1, 0, which are the numbers we assign to extremely, very, somewhat, and not at all important, respectively. You also see the tier groupings, which mean the top two items, 911 emergency calls and maintaining fire and emergency medical services, are the most important issues. In second tier, we have repair and maintaining city streets. Obviously, that's a big deal and has been. It's a little lower than it was before, but it's still a big deal. Maintaining police patrols and crime prevention, rounding out that top tier. Now, if we could, there's more data. So if we go to the next slide, I'll just pause there. This is the rest of the data. Hold that thought. And then go to the next slide. This is the satisfaction. So it's the same questions, but we're asking how satisfied are you with each of these things? In the top tier, we have rapidly responding to 911 emergency calls and maintaining emergency or fire and emergency medical. So the top two important items are also the top two things that people are most satisfied with. That's obviously good. You're meeting their needs. The next tier shows you a declining or descending a set of items. And again, I'm going to ask you to pause for a minute, but in thinking about this, move to the next slide, please. This is the bottom of the list. And so what's useful here is to look at the bottom of the list because this is where people are the least satisfied. And so you see here providing affordable and workforce housing that matches with that open-ended response, which was affordable housing. Repairing and maintaining city streets, while that is not negative anymore, you can see that green bar at minus 0.89 is where we were in 2017. The city's obviously made great strides, and we're now up to 0.23. Now, that's not, you know, the problem's not solved yet, but it's going dramatically in the positive direction. And what I've been sort of alluding to is the next slide, where I compare all of these together. So what you have here is the entire list of services that we asked about, and you have them ranked by importance. So again, they're responding to 911 emergency calls, as we've seen before, is at the top of the importance. It's also the item that people are most satisfied with. Maintaining fire and emergency medical services is also in that top tier, both in terms of importance and satisfaction. But as we go down the list from there, you see things that are still important. Because all of these things are important at one level or another. It's a relative ranking. But you see that there are some things that have highlighted in red the satisfaction, or in orange, depending on how low they were on the satisfaction scale. So in order to improve the quality of life in Grover Beach, what you want to focus on is those things that are relatively important but have low satisfaction scores. That's where you can get the most bang for your buck. So going down the list, in terms of importance, maintaining economic development programs is a 2.06, relatively important, but only a 0.34 in terms of satisfaction. So some work there would net dramatic results. Repairing and maintaining sidewalks, similar thing at 2.0, but also 0.36. And then providing affordable workforce housing, as we saw earlier, relatively important, but is the least satisfied item on here. So the cost of housing, I mean, to the extent that the city can help on that, obviously with zoning decisions and those sorts of things, would be really important to people, because there is an affordability perception issue in Grover Beach, not unlike there has become throughout California. Jumping down to the bottom of the list, then, building a multi-generational center is a 1.2, which is at the bottom of the list in terms of the relative importance. So it's not unimportant, but it's not the most important. And the satisfaction, because you don't have one, obviously that's why you would build one, is relatively low. But if you compare that 0.38 with the 0.34 in terms of economic development, they're about the same in terms of satisfaction at the low end, but you get a lot more bang for your buck on the economic development end, because obviously it's more important to people, relatively speaking. So that's the way to interpret all of these eye charts that we've gone through in the simplest fashion. Next slide, please. The next question shifted gears a little bit. We talked about Grand Avenue more specifically. We said, are you satisfied or dissatisfied with the Grand Avenue area? Again, adding the satisfied together, we're at 64%. The dissatisfied is 31% in round numbers. That's a ratio of 2.09, positive to negative. That, again, is a pretty good place to be. There's obviously almost two-thirds that are satisfied, but obviously there's some work to do. And next slide, please. The next question was, the next question in the full survey was the follow-up, what should we do? And I don't have a slide on that one, just in terms of brevity. Let me see here just a second. That included the things that people would like to see you work on. excuse me. Included needs visual improvement, rundown, vacant stores, not enough shopping, eating variety, and dissatisfied with road conditions. So then we asked a question, which was, if there was, given the variety of different retail establishments, what would you like to patronize and how important would it be to you? And you see at the top of this list is coffee shop or cafe. So that's something that they'd like to see more of on Grand Avenue, and that would help address some of these concerns that I just mentioned. Also live venue for music for adults, and then a live theater of some sort. In the second tier, we have public plaza, wine bar, brew pub, restaurant, then major clothing retailer or home retailer, specialty store, and a restaurant serving dinner past 9, which is similar, but obviously a different kind of a facility than a wine bar or brew pub. And then on down the list at the lower levels. Next slide, please. Next question switched gears a little bit, but still focused on Grand Avenue. We asked if there would be support for increasing multifamily housing along Grand Avenue. And again, adding the strongly and somewhat together, you see we're at 60% in round numbers supporting that idea. Obviously, it's not specific, it's pretty general, but that's a pretty high rate for that kind of question. 37% opposed. It's a 1.1 0.62 to 1 positive to negative. So there's strong support for looking at that. Obviously, you know, the details matter, but in general, there's support. Next slide, please. Then we switched gears again and asked about homeless and whether the city should do more, should do the same, or should do less. And an overwhelming majority of 70% thought that the city should do more to address homelessness. About 20% thought you were doing the right amount, and just 4% said you should do less, and 6% didn't know. Next slide. Of those that thought there should be something done more for homeless, we asked what they thought we should do, and we found that 46% said provide temporary or permanent shelter space for homeless individuals. 39% said outreach to homeless on how to access services, and 28% said clear homeless encampments and enforcement of camping ordinance. Next slide, please. And at this point, we switched gears to something we had asked in the past. Again, this was, have you contacted a city department in the last 12 months? And in 2017, we were 33% had. It's 34 in 2019, and it's up to 37% in 2021. So people are talking to you more. Next slide. We asked people what department this year again, as we did in 2019. Police department was at 37%. That was down from 42%. Public Works was virtually the same as it was in 2019. Park and Rec was a little lower than it was in 2019. Community development slightly higher, not significant at all. City Manager's Office slightly down. City Council slightly down, but not statistically so. Administrative services down, probably statistically significant in that case. Fire services up just a little bit, and other mentions up just a little bit. Next slide, please. Of those people that contacted the city, we asked them how their customer service was, and this is rated by how high each of these items is. So they weren't asked in this order, as you can see from the lettering, but courtesy of the city staff was a 1.35 on our scale, which ranges from a positive 2 to a negative 2, so relatively high. And in fact, 85% said they were either somewhat or very satisfied with the staff's courtesy. In our second tier, we have customer service you received at 0.98 on our scale, virtually the same as 2017, a little higher than 2019. And again, 76% that were either somewhat or very satisfied. Timeliness of response, virtually the same across all three of the years from a statistical perspective, and at 75%, at least somewhat satisfied. And then getting your problem resolved or your question answered in the final item at 0.57, down a little bit from each of the two previous years, but still nearly two-thirds saying that they were at least somewhat or very satisfied. That's as we ask these questions for other cities, that item is always the lowest because you don't always get an answer. You get an answer, right? But it's not always the one you want, but it's the truthful one. So that's important. Next slide. And the final question that we asked in this survey this year was source of local information. There were a lot more actually than this, but this is the top of the list. Word of mouth, family, friends, colleagues, neighbors. That one has actually gone up a little bit. And I think there's two things going on. We've seen this in other cities as well. One is this has got a component of social media built into it, and texting and other things. It's not necessarily actually word of mouth. It's all of the electronic communications that have become so speedy and so instant for us. City website is in second position, down a little bit, but not a dramatic difference than the previous year. Facebook down. This is one of the first times we've seen Facebook go down. And obviously Facebook has issues that are Facebook's issues, not the city's, but that doesn't mean you don't want to use Facebook because you still have 27% that are using it, but it's certainly a dramatic decline from where it was 2 years ago. TV stations a little bit lower, that's not surprising, as social media and electronic communications become more prevalent, relying on older technology is less likely to happen. Newsletters has jumped up dramatically, and you've got your electronic version of that newsletter now. That's clearly making a big impact, and is certainly notable. That, I mean, it's almost three times what it was in 2019, so that's a big impact. Nextdoor is down a little bit. I suspect that Nextdoor is separate from Facebook, but might be suffering a little bit from the Facebook phenomena. Newspapers virtually the same at a relatively low level because obviously all the electronic communications, social media have taken over where newspapers used to provide information. Then the water bill, then city council meetings at about the same level, a little bit lower, and then public hearings, notices, and postcards toward the bottom of this list. Now, again, there are more items, but I've left them off for sake of your time tonight. So that's the presentation I have. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions you might have.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Godby. So I will go ahead and invite members of the public to call in at 805-321-6639. And then I'll turn to the council, see if there's any specific questions we have of Mr. Godby. So, and I will, as we're kind of coming back, I will thank staff for putting this together and then also refer to the staff report as part of the package tonight, which has a lot of interesting slides that Mr. Godby didn't get a chance to share with us tonight. So there's lots of good information on the website. So with that, by unmuting of yourselves, go ahead and let me know if you have questions. And it looks like Mayor Pro Tem Bright, you are unmuted.
Not intentional. Thank you.
Very good. So let me see if there's other council members. Council Member Miller.
Thank you, Mayor Lee. So I'd like to ask for Mr. Godby's analysis on how our community measures up to other similar sized communities regarding the overall resident satisfaction of city services.
I think that you're moving in the right direction. I think you're a little bit on the low side overall, as I think about all of our clients across the state. But I think you're moving up, whereas in other cities, I've seen them flat or moving down during the COVID crisis. So I think that's really good news because I think COVID has an unintended side effect of, dragging city services down, even though, you know, we're not talking about how good a job you're doing with providing that in this context. So I think that that's pretty a good sign. And I think that the changes you've been making, particularly with respect to the streets and roads, is probably the most dramatic turnaround I've seen in 30 years of doing resident satisfaction.
So. Thank you.
Sure.
Very good. Let's see if there's other questions of Mr. Godby by council members. Not seeing anybody unmute themselves. Let's go ahead and open this up to the public. And I'll check in with our city clerk to see if anyone is on the line for public comment on this item.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. I will go ahead and close public comment on this item, bring it back to the council for final questions or comments. Go ahead and unmute yourself if you have anything you want to share. It looks like Council Member Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to thank Mr. Godby for all the time his organization puts in with this. The presentation is thorough and detailed and honestly eye-opening. Specifically, I mean, you mentioned it too when you talked about our numbers from two surveys back for 56%. And road and infrastructure being an issue. Like the fact that you mentioned that being like off the charts, like that's not a number that naturally happens in the wild. And I mean, when you see the way we're tracking currently, you can see obviously that roads and infrastructure is still a huge, huge issue for us, and we still need to work toward it. But actually being able to use your importance versus satisfaction charts to actually see how everything stacks together, I think is a great guidepost for this council moving forward and making sure that we're putting our city's dollars where they need to go. So again, thank you for your time. And this was eye-opening and a great experience. I appreciate it.
And next I'll turn to Councilmember Roberts.
Ditto that. Very, very good. Councilman Mr. Rushing, I think you covered all the bases there. Thank you for the hard work that you did. And it is very helpful to know what type of job we're doing up here. Although this comes on the backs of many, many people. But to see the survey helps a lot. So thank you for the work you did. Appreciate it.
And Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. This time it was intentional. So thank you very much. Yes, I just wanted to say that, first of all, now I can see the importance of having prior information. It is so helpful to see where we're going and if we're going in the right direction. So I find that to be very significant. And I also find it very interesting that our council priorities are right in line with what our residents, what their concerns and priorities are as well. So this really just kind of solidifies, I think, in my mind anyway, that we are listening and going down the right path. So really very informative and quite eye-opening. So appreciate your time and thank you very much.
Very good, and I'll just kind of echo those sentiments from my colleagues, and just yes, it's good to see that our major city goals are in alignment with what the community survey is coming back with. Kind of gives us an opportunity to continue down that path and make sure that that is where we put our majority of our focus, which I think is helpful in understanding why Mr. Bronson in his staff reports attempts to put in alignment with our city goals in staff reports and in presentations, which is another good recommendation of why we should continue working with community surveys, and Mr. Godby's work in these past years have been much appreciated. So before we close a discussion on this item, I wanted to give either Mr. Godby or Mr. Bronson an opportunity to kind of wrap it all up nicely with a bow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll go ahead and take the lead on that. I also want to thank Mr. Godby for his great work on the survey. I have worked with Mr. Godby over many years, many surveys, and they do a fantastic job in providing this quantitative data that really assesses how our community feels. It's a representative sample of our community. We match all of the major demographic groups so that the council has a sense of how our community feels about these key issues. There's a lot of data here, and I know it's kind of a drinking from a fire hose type of approach, but there's a lot here that we will further digest and review and analyze as staff, and we'll bring this forward to the council as part of your goal setting process, your budget process. We'll be internalizing it with our own operations and management to make sure we are in alignment with what our community believes and what they express. But I will echo the comments by council members. Your priorities are in very good alignment with what the community says is most important. And that's the mark of a council that's in tune with your community. So thank you to the council. We will look forward to doing this again in 2 years to continue seeing the progress we've made in addressing community needs. Thank you.
Very good. So thank you for that. So with that, this is a receive and file. So we'll say thank you to Mr. Godby and conclude our business on item number 14 and turn to item number 15, which is a Measure K-14 bond issuance direction and discussion. And as we bring the presentation up. I'll invite members of the public to call in at 805-321-6639 and turn it over to our Administrative Services Director, Ms. Purcell, to do the introductions.
Thank you and good evening, Mayor and Council. We will be looking for your direction tonight on how to proceed with the issuance of the Measure K-14 obligation bonds for local street repair projects. I am happy to introduce our presenter, Mr. Albert Pichet of Pichet and Associates, who has been with the city's as the city's financial advisor on the first three bond obligations that total $28 million. Mr. Pichet probably holds the best historical knowledge of these bond transactions, and I believe is the most fitting to share this knowledge and present to you tonight. So you're in good hands, and I will turn it over to Mr. Pichet.
Thank you very much, Deanne. Good evening, Mayor Lee. City Council members and members of the Grover Beach City. I'm very pleased to make this presentation, and I appreciate that introduction. I actually started several years ago with the city back in 2005 doing disclosure reports for the city that were required by the SEC. And then in 2013-14, we actually started discussing the bond issue. So I do have a lot of history. And I actually purchased one of the signs, as you can see right here. It's in my office. I picked the 8th Street sign since it was on City Hall. So thank you very much. And with that, I'll just go ahead and launch right into the presentation. I think it's important for me to just 30 seconds to read what the measure said. So this measure was on the ballot on November the 4th of 2014. As you know, it was called Measure K-14. But for members of the public who may not be able to read this, Measure K-14 said, to reconstruct and resurface deteriorating residential and major streets in order to enhance safety for pedestrians, bicyclists, and drivers, improve emergency vehicle response times and commute times, promote local economic and job growth, improve disabled access to sidewalks and street drainage to avoid flooding, shall the city issue $48 million of bonds at tax-exempt interest rates to fund a new street and related improvements subject to guaranteed annual audits and a citizens oversight committee. That was the measure before your voters, and a supermajority was required to pass this. I call a supermajority two-thirds, and in fact it passed with 68% of those who voted on that election day voted yes for the passage of it. As you may recall, we issued the first series of bonds in 2015 for $5 million. Then we issued $8 million in 2016, and our last issue was 4 years ago in 2017, and that was for $15 million. So it's been over 4 years since we've issued, and I think it's important to note, I was going through your staff memos from August, that the remaining bond funds are expected to be expended by March of 2022, necessitating a new bond issue to continue the street improvement project. Next slide, please. So with any bond issue, there is required to be a tax rate statement that is reviewed and actually signed by the city manager. And that talks about what your estimated tax rates would be based off of 100,000 of assessed value. And I want to stress estimated, and I'll circle back to that because things change over time, as we know. So the tax rate statement said the best estimate of the tax rate after the first sale of bonds was estimated to be $24.43. That actually was $24, and you'll see that in a couple of slides. Then the next parameter that it said was that the best estimate of the tax rate after the last sale of bonds was $147.34. We're not near our last bond issue, but we're currently at $85. And then it said the best estimate of the highest tax rate, which is typically after the last sale of bonds, is also $147.34. And then it said the best estimate of the average tax rate was $77.66. And we're below that as well. And we will come to that in a couple of slides. But I want to stress, and this is very important, the estimates are not binding upon the city as factors such as timing of bond sales, amounts of bonds sold, interest rates when bonds are sold, and growth in assessed value will affect the tax rates. The actual tax rates are set by the auditor controller and can vary from estimates in the tax rate statement. Next slide, please. So what does affect tax rates? I think the three major factors that affect the tax rates are the par amount of bonds that are sold, and the timing of those when those are sold, and the interest rates when bonds are issued, and then the assessed value. So you will see in another slide that assessed value has actually been very favorable and has allowed us to issue bonds and actually stay below what our projections were. So in the planning for the bond issue, as I mentioned, we began planning with the city staff back in 2013-14. We used a conservative 2.5% growth in assessed value, and we've actually used that going forward, and it's served us well, and you'll see in another slide, but when planning for the 2015, 16, and 17 bond issues. So with the AV exceeding the 2.5% growth rate, the actual tax rates affecting taxpayers are actually lower than anticipated. Next slide, please. So on the left table, you'll see the growth in assessed value has exceeded our 2.5% growth estimate. Typically, assessed value grows by itself 2% a year. By under Prop 13 purposes, it cannot grow more than that. And I'd like to make an important distinction. Assessed value is not market value. Market value is typically much higher than assessed value. So you are actually taxed on your assessed value, which grows much slower typically than market value. On the right-hand column, you can see the actual tax rates over the years, starting, as I mentioned, with the first tax rate after the first series of bonds is $24. Then it went up to $34, $51, $35. And at the last 3 years, have been steady at $85. So far, the average tax rate through 2021 is $64.24. So we had estimated 77, so we're below all the three parameters or the thresholds that we provided in the tax rate statement. But I would again like to stress that we're not required to follow those because those were just estimates, and those were estimates were made 7 years ago. Next slide, please. So what has been the effect of increasing assessed value and low interest rates? I went back to the staff report that was presented to the staff in October of 2017 for the approval of the $15 million series of bonds. And after the sale of the $15 million worth of bonds, we estimated in 2018-19 that the tax rate we estimated to be $96.22. The actual tax rate was $85. And then the following year in 2019-20, we estimated the tax rate to be about $102.84. The actual tax rate was again $85. So based off the proposed $10 million of series of bonds, which has been discussed with staff, we feel that due to the growth in assessed value, we think that the tax rate for 22-23 and 23-24 will be $99.05. And this is actually below what we thought the tax rate would be in 2019 after the series of $15 million worth of general obligation bonds. So again, this is the benefit of the actual increase in assessed value over our conservative 2.5% growth rate and lower interest rates. Next slide, please. So what are the steps to bond sale? Tonight before you is a resolution of intent that basically allows us, the financing team, to move forward with the preparation and the sale of the bonds. At the December 13th meeting, a resolution of issuance will be brought back to the city that provides for the terms, maturity, and other important details of the bonds. And then in January, a competitive sale is held whereby bidders are asked to submit qualified bids, and the lowest responsible bidder is then awarded those bonds. And that's called a competitive sale. Next slide. So with that, that was a lot of information in a few slides. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Boucher, for that presentation. So I have had the advantage of being involved in several of those presentations, and I always appreciate the succinctness and the encapsulation of the very important information in a short amount of time in a very understandable way as well. So let's see if there's any members of the council that have questions. And as you're preparing questions by unmuting yourself, I will invite folks to call in under public comment on this item at 805 321 6639. And go ahead and unmute yourself if you have questions. And Councilmember Bright, was that an intentional unmuting or an unintentional?
Now I have a reputation, don't I? Yes, it was intentional. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. So I have two kind of very differing kinds of questions. One would be for Mr. Pache. So we talked about the average rate for the new bonds at $99. Did I miss the average? So that is going to be, is $99 the average rate for all of the bonds or just for the new issue that we're discussing tonight?
Yes, Councilmember Wright. The $99 is the actual or the estimated tax rate in the coming fiscal year of 2223. For 100,000 of assessed value. So if you have a $100,000 home assessed value, again, not market value, your tax rate would be $99 is what we're anticipating, hopefully right. Less. The tax rate again is set by the auditor controller when we give her the debt service schedules. And we actually work very closely with your auditor controller.
Very good. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that. I appreciate it.
Sure.
And then I have another question. I guess this would be for staff. And even though it's not really part of this, but can I get the estimated cost again to repair and reconstruct one block of street? Is our public works director here, or maybe our city manager might be able to just give me an estimate?
Hi, if you can hear me, I'm still here. So when we started this out, it was right at $100,000 a block. We're about $150,000 a block now.
Thank you. Those are my questions. Thank you very much. I appreciate the information.
Very good. Thank you for those questions. Let me see by an unmuting of yourselves if anyone else has questions for Mr. Pache or staff. Very good. Not seeing any other questions. Let's go ahead and turn to our city clerk and see if anyone has joined us from the public for public comment on this item.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you for that. I will go ahead and close public comments, bring it back to the council for any comments or if someone is ready for a motion.
Well, I'll make a motion of staff's recommendation.
Very good. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Bright, a second by Councilmember Miller. So I'll just do one last check and see if anyone has any comments on this item. If not, I'll go ahead and ask for a roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So we do have direction to issue or proceed towards the next steps of towards a $10 million Measure K14 bond issuance. And I do want to say just a quick thank you to Mr. Pache and to staff. I think that was a very good presentation, one that also includes an acknowledgement that our conservative estimating has done very good for us in the long term with respect to the fact that we are actually under what the estimates were. And as Mr. Ray mentioned, the cost to actually do the street improvements is higher than what we initially expected, but we are actually ahead of schedule and under budget. And that, I think that's a testament to the bond climate, staff, as well as Mr. Pache and his company for putting us in the position to succeed under this program. So. With that, we'll conclude work on item number 15 and bring it back to the council for our second round of public communications. I'll just check in with our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comment at this part of the meeting.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. We'll go ahead and close public comments and bring it back to the council for committee reports. I'll turn to Councilmember Robert first to see if there's any committee reports that he wants to share.
I don't have any, Mayor. Thank you.
Very good. Next, I'll go to Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. There was a Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting and an HSOC meeting last week. So I'll report out on Zone 3 first. The Tesla battery storage is in place and waiting for connection. A firm has been selected to perform the geotechnical testing and seismic study of the terminal reservoir dam. There is a consulting firm working on a report regarding the fault zone risk assessment. Proposals are being reviewed for the spillway assessment. Lopez Water Treatment Plant indicated and lake storage is now at 29% capacity and projected to be at 13,000 acre feet if we receive no additional rain through March of 2022. And lastly, the cloud seeding program will start in December, and there will likely be a recommendation by the committee to extend the contract for this program for another 3 years. And moving on to Homeless Services Oversight Council. In public comments, there was a suggestion made to track deaths of homeless individuals to inform on the need for services. And Los Osos Cares will not operate a warming center this year. I'm scrolling through my notes here for updates. There is allocations for, I don't want to use an acronym, so let me look up the full name here. For the Homeless Housing Assistance and Prevention Program Grant Continuum of Care. So the third round of funding is available. There's a need for the committee to appoint the county as the administrator for those funds, which did happen. About $4.2 million will be available for award. The 7% of those funds may be used for administrative expenses. They must be spent on, the rest of the funds must be spent on evidence-based solutions that address and prevent homelessness. And a minimum of 8% of those funds must be used to serve homeless youth. Good for me, thank you.
Very good, thank you for that report out. So next I'll turn to, and I'm gonna apologize, Councilmember Rushing, did I already call on you?
You did not, but I have nothing to report this week.
Okay, very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. So I'll start with APCD, Air Pollution Control District. There were some quite a lot of interesting information if you're into that sort of thing, which I seem to be. But they have an air aware alerts icon on their slowcleanair.org website. And there are over 3,300 people that are signed up for that. So I just wanted to put that out there for any other folks that might be interested in receiving air quality alerts. You can do that very easily by going to slowcleanair.org. There was an air purifier pilot program that was introduced, I believe, by Jimmy Paulding from Arroyo Grande City Council. And that has been approved. They will work to fund HEPA air purifier devices to low-income households where we have air exceedances in our county, particularly on the Mesa. Then there was some interesting information regarding the fiscal plan, unfortunately. So there's discussion regarding the permit cost recovery improvement so that that the services that they render are covered by the fees that they charge. And it seems that the biggest adjustments they're talking about is going towards the cannabis manufacturing and processing industries, more so to be in line with Santa Barbara County. Now, none of these changes will be in effect. They'll certainly come after public hearings and that sort of thing, but this is just what the fiscal plan is suggesting in order to get them to where they need to be. There had been no permit fee increases except for 3.75% in the past 10 years. During that time, districts of similar size increased fees between 21 to 43%. The compounded CPI over the past 10 years, according to this report, was 21%. So to wrap this all up, this fiscal plan roadmap is proposing an annual 6% increase across the board CPI adjustment, in addition to targeted increases to specific sources, for example, the cannabis industry and several others. There also was a discussion about a per capita fee, which is in California code that can be charged by air districts. However, there was quite a bit of dissent throughout many of these suggestions, but that one in particular received, I would say, the most concerning comments from the members of the board. So that's the good news from APCD. Moving on to our Air Pollution Control District. Moving on to the IWMA, Integrated Waste Management Authority. Good news with the audit for 2021. There were no findings, and they have no outstanding pension debt. I even asked them to repeat that to me. So that's pretty impressive. There was an ad hoc committee determined to address, recruitment for the executive director. We approved the executive committee to start searching for a new executive director, and then also an interim director in the meantime to assist staff that there really are so many gaps there without having an executive director at the helm. We have an interim, and she's doing the best she can, but there's just a lot that has to be happening now with all of the changes going on with the IWMA. So that is good news. And then there was something that I just kind of wanted to throw out there to my colleagues and anyone else who's interested. There was a public comment regarding disposal to the landfill, and this happened to be this particular merchant happened to be Goodwill. And apparently there are loads and loads and loads of new products and lots of used products that go to the landfill weekly. It was quite disturbing to hear, actually, what the multitude of it was. But there was a mention of a materials recovery facility, or the possibility of maybe having something like that originate that in our county. There are several other counties that have such a thing. And so hopefully we'll be looking into something, giving that a little more review. And that is the end of my reports. Thank you.
Very good. I appreciate those reports. And I did have any committee assignment reports to address this evening. So that'll take us to our League of California Cities, where I don't have anything to report on that. Next, I'll go to Council Communications, and I'll start just to keep the flow going. I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright and then proceed backwards.
Well, you'll probably all be happy to hear that the Council Communications I've received have already been discussed, so I have none this evening. Thank you.
Very good. Next, I'll go to Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Wouldn't be me if I didn't wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving for next week. I hope everyone has a wonderful and safe time and gets to spend it with the people you care most about. And pigtailing on that, last week we did have a great little gathering hosted by the South County Chambers of Commerce, our Friends Giving. It was the last social event on their calendar for the year, hosted at GB Eats around the corner from our house. Really well attended, and we pulled together, with the Chamber's help, pulled together a buy local day. So everybody that brought in receipts from purchases made in Grover Beach that day got a chance to win something. I myself won something. I got to tell you, I very rarely win anything in life. So it was kind of a really cool day. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Very good. I think you were... your chances were increased because former council member Miriam Shaw was not at the event. She wasn't able to attend. And so your chances of winning the raffle were increased that evening. So next I'll turn to council member Miller for any council communications.
Thank you. I'll just share that I received communication last week from a resident who wanted to express appreciation to the city for the restriping work that was done in Farrell.
Very good. Next, I'll move on to Councilmember Roberts.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to give a shout out to the Exploration Discovery Center in Grover over at Ramona. Debbie Ugaldi has done a fantastic job there, founding member of the board. Although I sit on the board, I don't take any credit for what she has done there. I mean, I go by there and it almost brings tears to my eyes. There's kids just flowing out of there. They just come, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of kids come there a week, and there's so many members joining up, and it's just a fabulous turnaround for that establishment. And I just want to give a shout out to Debbie Ugaldi for all that she's done over there. And they have some things coming up for Christmas, kind of after the parade. They're going to have, I think it's the ice cream social. And they're having a party, and there's just check the website. There's lots of things going on. You can just Google the Exploration Discovery Center and just check it out. If you have kids, it's definitely the place to be in Grover Beach. So thank you, Debbie, for all you've done. That's it. And all everybody have a great Thanksgiving and a happy and safe Friday. We'll see how Black Friday goes this year. It's going to be interesting.
Yes, indeed. I think Black Friday has turned into Black November with all the deals. But yes, definitely a happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there, and definitely be safe. Did have just a couple of communications. A quick reminder that the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, in coordination with Finn's Restaurant, is participating in Giving Tuesday, which is the November the 30th, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, where you can support the organization and get some great food from Finn's. Bring in much needed funds towards the Five Cities Homeless Coalition to continue to address homeless issues within our community in the South County. And not to steal any thunder from our city manager, but I did want to give a shout out for the Holiday of Lights program that is coming down along with the South County Parade that'll happen in Grover Beach on Saturday, December the 4th. At 10 a.m. And then lastly, I did want to acknowledge some conversations I've had with folks regarding redistricting at the county level, as well as more specifically in Grover Beach. We do have our districting webpage that is up in English and Spanish, and you can kind of go to the city's website and acknowledge, or excuse me, determine how how you want to redistrict Grover Beach. But I did want to kind of throw out something to the council and see if there's any interest in either a jointly worded letter potentially crafted by the city manager or us just taking on the effort individually to acknowledge the fact that the Senate district that we currently reside in, we would actually be carved out of that if the current maps are approved. And the assembly district that we currently sit in is going to, as proposed, would change from a southern-facing series of communities to us being included in the northern-facing communities of Monterey and up to Santa Cruz. So I think the assembly district is kind of a less significant change for us. With the district change for Senate being a little bit different in the fact that it does break up Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. We would actually be in separate state Senate districts. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there, see if there's any interest in the city writing a letter either in support or recognition of that, or if you just feel we should do that as individual council members. So it's if you have a feeling one way or the other, go ahead and unmute yourself. Otherwise, I'll consider that just we will handle it as individual council members.
Excuse me, Mayor. I would agree with the writing a letter from the city. I have no problem with that. That would be my consensus.
I'd support that as well.
Okay, so I guess I'll turn to the city manager because I probably neglected to actually craft the comment because I don't know if by turning to Mr. Hale, if our letter would be in support of the change or not in support of the change, and perhaps we would need to have an agendized item for that. Is that correct, Mr. Bronson? That I just kind of uniquely mess up where the thought process was in my head.
If it was the direction of the council to proceed in providing a position on this change, and what I'm gleaning from the council is concern with the proposed changes created by this independent California Redistricting Commission, which is a separate body, separate from any legislative body, that is direction that the council could provide. I'm not aware of what time frame this is operating under, and given the Thanksgiving week coming up, I'm not sure we're going to be in a position to turn around a letter this week. The commission may be making decisions relatively quickly in this process. I'm aware of one community around us that has submitted a letter. They drafted this a week or two ago, and it's on its way to the commission as we speak.
And from a timing perspective, and I'll turn to Mr. Hale in just a second, I think from a timing perspective, it would need to be done before, effectively before Christmas. So I think the committee is tasked with finalizing their discussion and their determination before the new year. So with that as context, I'll turn to Mr. Hale for his comments.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, giving direction to the staff to go forward with this letter, in my opinion, is not necessary to have to agendize it. So I think general consensus on the part of the council to go forward with that direction is fine.
Okay. Very good. I appreciate that. Anybody have any concerns with requesting Mr. Bronson in his appropriately timed schedule with crafting that for, I guess, for my signature? And I can help with crafting language as well if needed. So, not seeing anybody unmute themselves, we'll take that as consensus. And so that'll turn us then over to our city manager for his reports and comments.
And I see a hand raised from Councilmember Roberts, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
It's all right. It's okay, Mayor. My question was, are we all in consensus with the letter? And I'm sure all read it, with the concerns from Arroyo Grande or similar concerns.
With regards to the county redistricting or for?
Yes.
Okay.
Are we all on the same line as their concerns?
I'm asking. So I would, I would need to recuse myself from that discussion as a current county employee. So I will, if there was a discussion on that, I'll either turn over that discussion to Mayor Pro Tem Bright and mute myself. So if you wanted to have that portion of the conversation, unless Mr. Bronson or Mr. Hale wants to add something to that conversation.
Well, I'm wondering if Council Member Roberts is talking about the letter that referred to the Assembly District and is that the letter that you're talking about?
The redistricting Robert? Letter. Redistricting
letter. Or, yeah, but there were several that have been sent out.
The most recent one. I'm talking about the letter that the mayor referred to.
So where they were talking about where Arroyo Grande was going to be, they would be cut from this five cities area and lumped in with southern cities. Is that what you're talking about for the Assembly District, or are you talking about county redistricting?
The whole redistricting situation is what I'm talking about. That's a further discussion than we want to get to here. So I'll just withdraw that comment and go ahead with what we're doing. Sorry.
Yeah, I think from a county standpoint, that situation will be resolved as of November 30th. So I don't think we have time to opine on that discussion. So I think where my thoughts were kind of being supportive of making sure that the five cities region, specifically Grover Beach, is in the same district as our adjacent neighbors. So, but I do see either a hand or an unmuting by Councilmember Rushing.
I did a little Karen Bright thing right there. My apologies. I was literally just following up on Robert's, just clarifying that we're specifically talking about the Assembly districts and the Senate redistricting. This has nothing to do with the county at this point. So that's been cleared up. That's what my hand was all about, and I'll shut up now. Thank you very much.
Okay. Very good. Appreciate everyone's comments, and I'll turn to Mr. Bronson to see if he feels he has adequate direction to effectively create a draft letter supportive of the city remaining in the common Senate district and common Assembly district with our fellow five cities neighbors.
Yes.
Very good. Appreciate that. So now we'll turn to our city manager for his reports and his comments tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, shifting gears to our upcoming holiday events on December 4th. We are delighted to have a really spectacular day of community activity. We're looking forward to the holiday parade coming up at 10 o'clock, a theme of There's No Place Like Grover Beach for the Holidays. It's a great opportunity for us to really have a moment with each other in a safe outdoor environment with our community. That'll flow into our Santa's workshop coming up that afternoon, which includes 5 tons of snow at Ramona Park. Nice winter wonderland here in sunny California. And then that'll culminate in our tree lighting that evening at 7 p.m. also at Ramona Park. So a great day planned from starting at 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. We would love for the council members to be out and enjoying the wonderful day and, of course, be transported in the parade, which will be a great moment for the council as well. Councilmember Miller mentioned the Farrell Road restriping earlier, and that is a nice improvement on that street from 4th Street, Oak Park Boulevard, to refresh the vehicle lanes, bike lanes, and just bring that section of roadway to a greater visibility. We also are pleased to announce that our South Oak Park Boulevard construction project began last week. We have a corner ramps under construction, which, as you know, is always the first step, the leading edge of the street repair project, and that will move very quickly into asphalt grinding and road rehab work, bike lanes will be coming soon, great projects. And this project is funded through a variety of sources, including general fund dollars, gas tax dollars, SB1 state funding. It's a mix of different funding sources, and the general fund is helping to support this major street project and other major street projects for many years to come. And lastly, I'll also echo the comments of others and just wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving with your friends and loved ones. Let's all take a moment to be thankful for those around us and for the great community that we work and serve in. And we look forward to our next council meeting on December 13th. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Brunson. And next I'll turn to Mr. Hale to see if he has anything that he would like to add under reports and comments tonight.
I don't have anything in particular, Mayor, but I do want to wish everybody a happy holidays and eat lots of turkey.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. I don't see any closed session this evening. So with that, I will kind of reiterate all of the comments from folks saying have a happy Thanksgiving, have a safe Thanksgiving. And I'm very thankful for being able to work with each and every one of you and for living in such a great city. So with that, we are adjourned and we'll see everybody very soon.
Happy Thanksgiving. Good night.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.